Thank you, Sasha, for braving the elements, a wonderfully appropriate place to do the reading with the raging waters behind you, and well done for speaking over them. Our opening hymn was Lord of All Hopefulness. Hope is a vital ingredient of life, but hope is always to do with the future. We hope things will get better. We hope the coronavirus will fade away. Or we hope for a good death and for heaven. Hope keeps us going, especially when life is tough at the moment. But because hope is to do with the future, it doesn't change the present. We need faith for that. For instance, we have just heard the Gospel reading describing Peter getting out of the boat onto the waters of the Sea of Galilee. He would not have been helped by hope. He didn't think, "Gosh, I hope this is going to work." No, he needed faith, and that comes from hearing the Word of God. He heard Jesus say, "Come." Faith, you see, believes that word and acts upon it. So Peter heard it and followed. He believed Jesus and stepped out of the boat, and that is faith, and that is why he was able to walk on water. The reason he then starts to sink was that he shifted his faith from Jesus and his word and instead looked at the waters and waves and started to believe his own reason. Reason said he would sink. Jesus said he would walk. He started with Jesus and ended with reason. We are called to live by hope in the future and faith in the present. What we need when we go out into a coronavirus-infected world, apart from our masks, social distancing, hand sanitizers, and any other precaution, is faith, not hope. I'm not hoping for the best, I'm believing for the best. That belief is based on the words and promises of God. I do not believe it will bring him glory, which is, after all, the whole purpose of our lives, for me to die or be seriously impaired for the rest of my life by the virus. I therefore resist it in the name of the Lord. I trust in more than my face mask, hand sanitizer, social distancing, and extreme caution. I trust in him who is in me, rather than he who is in the world. I take all the care I can, but I will not be afraid. I think of Psalm 91 and its words of encouragement, words that induce faith. This I declare about the Lord, he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. I don't believe these verses just because they're in the Bible, but because they chime in with the very nature of God. The psalm puts into words what I believe God is like. Its authority and power comes from the fact that God says it, not just because it's a biblical text. Indeed, it was this very psalm that Satan quoted and twisted when tempting Jesus to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple. He quoted verse 11 from Psalm 91. For he will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Here is an instance of scripture being misused. Jesus retorted, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." Indeed, all my life is based in an active and believing dependence upon the goodly hand of the Lord. This will not necessarily defend me from persecution or hardships, but it will defend me from futile accidents. I need not be subject to the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, as William Shakespeare put it. Having said that, of course, if I start getting presumptuous, or if I let my walk with the Lord and let sin overtake me, then I am once again vulnerable. Our God is not just a concept, an idea, a system of belief. Nor is our God only one who draws alongside us in our troubles and infirmities, yet is unable to do anything more than comfort us. Our God is living and active and powerful. He is master of all he surveys. He is sovereign over his creation. We can rightly claim his protection. But we need to be fully persuaded of this. A doubting, half-hearted belief will achieve nothing. Conversely, this is not going out with a cavalier attitude, presuming that nothing can harm us. That can be a cover for irresponsibility and carelessness. No, walking in the midst of danger means that we should take seriously the danger and yet put our trust in God and his promises and his protection. So, let's return to Peter walking on the water. All was well as he stepped out of the boat. His faith in the word of Jesus was without doubt. He started well, but then doubt flooded in and he started to sink. But even then, notice that God did not abandon him to his fate. No, God in Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and saved him. All through our Christian lives, God, our Father, is trying to stretch our faith. One trial after another will befall us for the very purpose of testing and strengthening our faith. So let's not curse our luck or complain bitterly at our misfortune. The very things that we don't want in our lives may be the very things that God has sent. Whatever it is, we must learn to rejoice in all circumstances. Everything is an opportunity to glorify the Lord. As James put it at the very start of his epistle, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." So, when things go wrong, when we can't go on our Spanish holiday, or even if we did and then had to return unexpectedly without warning to 14 days quarantine, how do we react? Let us praise God, rejoice in all circumstances, do as we're told, quarantine ourselves, but then see what God does. Like Peter, we will start to learn to walk on water rather than sink into it. We will walk through this troublesome world as overcomers, as conquerors. We will not be overcome. Amen.